Come on, how many of you know the blood still works? We preached about it last Sunday.
Yes, sir.
We took communion together last Sunday.
All right.
And I don't know about you, but I'm still pleading the blood of Jesus right now. The blood still works on my family. It still works on my job. It still works on my body. Come on, somebody. The healing, salvific blood of Jesus Christ. It still works in the name of Jesus. It's preaching time. I want you to stand to your feet and turn with me to two scriptures. One in the Old Testament, in the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. And the second, I want to direct your attention to the first gospel, the Gospel of St. Matthew. I want you to look at Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 7. And then I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. And we're going to read a few verses out of that text as well. Genesis chapter 3, verse starting in verse number 7. Say amen. We've located the text.
Amen.
Genesis chapter 3, verse number 7 says, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." I want you to keep your finger there and go with me to Matthew chapter 21. Starting also in verse number 7, the Bible reads as follows. "Then they brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.'" Here is the reading of God's divine and eternal word. "May edify, may sanctify the people of God." And I would that you pray with me on the title of this sermon. Lay down your garments. Lay down your garments. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that the words that you've written, the words that you've given, the words that will be spoken would not return void, but that the word will accomplish that which you intended for it to accomplish. May hearts be encouraged. May minds be illuminated. May somebody's soul be convicted today, I pray. Have your way, O God, in the name of Jesus. Let the anointing of the Most High God continue to fall fresh in this place. And God, we shall give you glory, praise, and honor, shouting Hosanna like the disciples of old did so many thousands of years ago. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Let the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say, amen, 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 and amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Ushers, you may be seated as well. Beloved, on this, another Palm Sunday, we have traditional Palm Sunday biblical text. And today's text in the gospel reading, Matthew 21, is a traditional Palm Sunday gospel text. So Matthew 21 recounts the story of Jesus's triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. If you look at verse number 1 of chapter 21, it says, "Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go get me a colt and loose her, or loose them, and bring them to me, a donkey and a colt. In Matthew's reading, it reads them. In Luke and the other gospel, it reads singular, either the donkey or the colt. But what is fascinating to me is Jesus's statement and his injunction to his disciples to not get some majestic white stallion, some great Arabian horse that was full of pomp and circumstance. No, what Jesus told his disciples to get was a donkey and a colt. And so with this traditional Palm Sunday reading, I want to talk to you about what it means to lay down our garments. In some respects, I could have taken and entitled the phrase, take off your clothes, but I'm not going to do that. Amen. Y'all missed that, but there's a reason I didn't say take off your clothes on a Sunday morning. I'm not going to go there. Lay down your garments. Because quite frankly, the clothes that are referenced here in the text in verse number 7 and 8 are both literal, clearly literal. If you look at verse number 8, and a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down branches. A great multitude of those who were in the city of Jerusalem spread their clothes on the road that led into the city of Jerusalem. So I want to speak today about this literal interpretation of the disciples taking off their garments, spreading them on the road in front of Jesus as he walked, as he rode triumphantly into the city of Jerusalem. Then I want to juxtapose that text on and against the text in Genesis chapter 3, in which we find Adam and Eve putting on fig trees, putting on literally the first set of clothes that we believe human beings put on in the Garden of Eden. How many of you know that when God created Adam and Eve, the presumption was that they were naked and unashamed? Come on, somebody. There was an intentionality of God that when God created his human beings, that he was going to do for them what he did for the other animals, in which the giraffes, it does not read in my Bible, nor is it ever been interpreted to me in Sunday school that the giraffes had some clothes on. It was never communicated to me that the elephants had some garments on. It was never communicated to me that the rabbits and the birds and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea were naked, were clothed with anything. If anything, the fish of the sea may have had some scales on their bodies. And yet there is nothing in the word that details that any of God's creative order had to put on some clothes. And so when God separated the waters from the firmament, he said that was good. When God put the major light to rule by day and the minor light to rule by night, he said that was good. When God scooped out the valleys and piled up the mountains, he said that was good. And when God rested upon the seventh day, he looked at his creation and he said that was good. How many of you know God does not make any mistakes and God does not make any junk? We are all fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. And so when God looked around and saw everything else in his created order, Sister Mary Stevenson, he said, man, he should not be alone. He created man and woman. He created them. And one story says, out of Adam's rib, he created woman. Another version of the story says, he created them in the image, in his image. In God's image, he created them. But when he created humanity, when he created us, you all, there was something unique and special about us that was different than all of the rest of the created order. I heard Reverend Daniels, Pastor Dearest Daniels, preach a funeral just a couple of days ago in which he reminded us that the thing that is different from humanity versus the rest of God's created order is our ability to think and our ability to choose. How many of you know that Joshua gave us a great statement? Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. There's a choice that all of us have to make. And I hope all of you have made up in your mind that you're going to keep serving the Lord Jesus. I hope every day you get up, you've decided you're going to put Jesus first in your life. There's a song that we sing when I grew up in Sunday school. I've decided to make Jesus my choice. The road gets rough and the going gets tough. The hills are so hard to climb. I started out a long time ago, but there is no doubt in my mind, I've decided, am I the only one here today that have decided to make Jesus my choice? We have the ability to think and we have the ability to choose. And in the Garden of Eden, this phrase sticks out to me like a major neon flashing light. Adam and Eve were naked and they were unashamed. And I believe that in our relationship to God, that God wants us to be vulnerable and God wants us to be open. And yes, in a metaphorical and spiritual way, God wants us to be naked before him. God does not want any inhibitions that are blocking our relationship to him. God doesn't want any people that are stopping us from praising him and worshiping him. God does not want any attitudes that are trying to rob you of your joy. God does not want any naysayer, backbiter, prayer hater, backstabber to try to rob you of your praise. When you woke up this morning, I hope you meant it and put it in your mind that I'm going to praise the Lord no matter who and no matter what and no matter how, because I know that if I put Jesus first in my life, that God will make a way out of no way. I am convinced, beloved of God, that because of our sin nature, we put on some garments that block our connectivity to God. I'm reminded in this technological age, when I try to locate my iPad and my iPhone and my iBook, I'm looking for an internet connection. And sometimes I'm in a place where there is no Wi-Fi. Listen, my children have, 2 or 3 years ago, they started talking about Wi-Fi. I'm like, what does a 5-year-old know about Wi-Fi? Daddy, is there a Wi-Fi connection here? What do you know about Wi-Fi? But in 2014, our children know more about technological connectivity than many of us, don't they? But the Wi-Fi is, no matter where you are, you don't see the radio waves or whatever, the telecommunication waves. But how many of you know they're connecting? But you get into places sometimes where the signal is weak, or there's something blocking your signal. Not just stop by to tell somebody that you need to make sure that there is nothing blocking your connectivity signal unto the Lord. When you think about our daily walk, the enemy is out to block your connectivity to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am convinced that the only way you and I will be successful in carrying out the things of God is when we ensure that there is nobody and that there is nothing, as best we can, that is blocking or inhibiting or covering our connectivity to our God. Everybody with me this morning? Because I believe that when you have a strong connectivity signal to God, the devil is put on the defensive. I am convinced when you are fully plugged in to the power source of who God is, that God will fight some battles for you. God will move some mountains for you. God will build some bridges for you. And God will open some doors for you. But when we have a weak signal, or in the case of what's going on in the text, when we have ceased to become naked and unashamed before God, then something or somebody is blocking and covering that which God wants us to have. And you ought to make up in your mind today, I'm tired of being covered up. You ought to make up in your mind today, I'm tired of folk blocking and inhibiting me in my relationship unto God. Listen, I'm not just talking about praise and worship on a Sunday morning. Don't get me wrong. I want folk to be loose in praise. I want folk to be loose in worship. But I'm talking about on your job on a Monday when the stuff starts hitting the fan and you going through your trials and your tribulations. You're not in church at 3:40 Reverend S. Howard Woodson Way. You don't have Betty and Aaron and the choir helping to lift you up in praise. You don't have the preacher preaching a sermon to you. But you are by yourself, and it's you and the Lord, and the devil's trying to get you, and the devil is on your back, and the devil is trying to rob you of your joy, and the devil is trying to knock you down, and in point of fact, the devil is trying to kill, trying to steal, and trying to destroy. Anybody ever been there? I've been in some places where I was by myself and the devil was on full attack. And I had to make up in my mind, how was I going to respond? But when you're connected to the power source, come on somebody, when you got a relationship, it doesn't matter where you are. You can always call on the relationship. It doesn't matter who you're dealing with. You can always call on the relationship. Adam and Eve were created to worship. They were created to have an undeniable relationship with their Creator. God created them that there would be nothing in their way. In point of fact, he said, Adam and Eve, eat of every tree that you want to in the garden, but just don't touch that one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you know the story, that there they were alone on their job. Come on, somebody. Their job was taking care of the garden. Their job was praising the Lord. Their job was walking and eating whatever they wanted to eat, drinking whatever in the garden they can drink. They were supposed to be naked and unashamed. They were supposed to just stop and praise God anywhere. Nobody was looking at them because they were focused on their Creator. And I need somebody today to be wholly focused on your Creator. Because when you are wholly focused on your Creator, I believe the Lord would do some things that will blow your mind. But there comes that old devil slithering up. Isn't it interesting that the devil was a slitherer? Because sometimes we on our A game with our praise. And here comes some old serpent slithering up. Folk on your job, you didn't even hear him coming, slithering up. Somebody in your family, you didn't know where they came from, slithering up. Something in your marriage, you thought things were going well with your husband and your wife, but here comes that old devil slithering up, trying to cause dissension and chaos and confusion in your marriage, with your relationship, with your children, on your job, in your body. Because when you own your job, guess what? The devil's on his job also. There they were, naked and unashamed. And the Bible says that the tempter, the deceiver, got to Eve, who then got to Adam, who then both get into the blame game if you want to. This woman thou gavest me. No, you the problem, Adam. Eve says, I just gave it to him. I didn't make him eat it. No, you gave. You had a problem too, Eve. They both ate of the fruit. Is held responsible because he's the covering over the family. But they both ate of the fruit. And as a result, they became ashamed. And the Bible says in Genesis 3 verse 7 that they took fig leaves and covered themselves. The first set of clothes that I can read in the Bible, Deacon Revelle, were fig leaves, because they were ashamed and they lost the connection with their God. So much so that God comes walking through the garden and says, Adam, where art thou? And there Adam and Eve were. You've seen the images in your Sunday school books. Naked. They were covered up and hiding from God. How can you hide from God? How can you hide from an omnipotent God that has all power in his hands? How can you hide from an omniscient God that knows everything about you? How can you hide from an omnipresent God that's everywhere at the same time and at the same time is everywhere? How can you hide from a righteous God, from a holy God, from a gracious God, from a merciful God? Does anybody know anything about him? How can you hide from your Creator? But when you've lost your connectivity, you have to cover yourself. God says, Adam, where are you? He wasn't talking about global positioning. He knew exactly where Adam was. God is God. Point of fact, God knew where you were last night. Point of fact, God knew where you were this morning. God knew where you were last week. God knew what you were doing. God knew what you were saying. God knew how you treated your neighbor. God knew how you talked to your wife. God knows how you talked to your husband. God knew how you talked to your family. God knew what you said on your job. God knew what party you went to, what dance you did, what slide you did, the Chicago slide or the new slide, whatever it is. God knew what you were doing. That's all I'm saying. Just trying to make it plain. The new electric slide, the Chicago slide, some other slide we do. Adam, where are you? But he says this spiritually. Adam, where are you spiritually? Because this is not what I created you to do. I didn't create you to hide in some fig leaves. I
didn't create you to sliver and shiver behind some bushes. I created you to be a bold man of God. I created you to be a strong woman of faith. I created you to give me praise. You are not fulfilling your assignment. And I'm convinced today there's some folk in the church that are not fulfilling their assignment because you are allowing the devil to knock you off your game. You're allowing the devil to rob you of your praise. You're allowing the devil to cause you to hide behind some people, behind some circumstances. We are covering, or something is covering us. Listen, y'all. If we are going to go to the next level of ministry, then you've got to take off some garments and lay them before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to get back to the state I was when I first came into my relationship with you. Does anybody remember when you first got saved? Does anybody remember how excited you were? How happy you were? How thankful you were? All the demons in the world couldn't get you off your praise because you just realized, had it not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Some of y'all realize you should have been dead and gone, but God gave you a second chance and a third chance and another chance. Does anybody know that he's a God of another chance? I woke up because he gave me another chance. I'm here right now because he gave me another chance. I got praise in my spirit because he gave me another chance. I can stand on my feet, clap my hands, stamp my feet because God gave me another chance. But between then, when you first got saved, and now, where are you? Is there something covering you? Is there somebody blocking you that's causing you to be covered and ashamed? We all sin and fall short of God's glory. But Brother Darrell, God gave us something in 1 John 1:9 that says, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Listen, I got to get clean every day I wake up, because either in my mind, in my mouth, or in my body, I am doing something that is not pleasing before the Lord. But every time I realize that I messed up, Brother Lethal, I got to fall on my knees and say, Father, forgive me. I have sinned. Father, forgive me. Wash me. Give me another chance. Give me another opportunity. Father, wash me. Because something has gotten in my way. And I am not praising you the way I'm supposed to praise you. I'm not serving you the way I'm supposed. I was created to serve you. God says to Adam and Eve, where are you? Bookmark that. Fast forward thousands of years to Matthew chapter 21, verse 7. Jesus says, go get me a donkey and a colt, bring them to me. I have need of them. And verse 7 says, they set him on the colt, and he rode into Jerusalem. But before he entered into the week of passion, listen, y'all, he's about to fulfill his assignment. He came here for a purpose. This is Holy Week, y'all. This is Palm Sunday. This is the Sunday Jesus rides into Jerusalem to serve notice on the devil that whatever you gonna do, you better throw everything you can, because I'm about to serve notice that your demonic kingdom is about to be brought to an end. And I just stopped by to tell somebody this early morning that whatever the devil is trying to do in your life, I want you to let God serve notice that the devil is defeated, that the devil is a liar, that Jesus is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Listen, listen. Jesus gets on the colt and he gets ready to go into the city of Jerusalem. But the Bible says that they took off their clothes. Isn't that what Matthew 21 verse 7 says? They took off their clothes and they begin to lay them at the foot of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. When I think about what this text means and how it represents my relationship to God, I'm reminded that there's some stuff that I gotta take off, y'all. And when I think about my own personal relationship, I just stop by to tell somebody that there's some stuff that I gotta take off. And I don't know about you, because my stuff is not your stuff. But when I come before the Lord Jesus, I've made up in my mind, I'm going to take some stuff off. And I'm going to lay it at the foot of Jesus. And I'm going to say, Lord, I want you to ride all over my stuff. Because when Jesus gets ready to get over my stuff, then I'm going to be set free. When Jesus gets ready to ride over my stuff, if you're willing to take your stuff off, I believe Jesus will ride over your stuff. Because the God I serve is a God that is bigger than your stuff. The God I serve is a God that's bigger than your trials. The God I serve is a God that's bigger than your tribulation. Does anybody know who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. I'm talking about Jesus, my rose of Sharon. I'm talking about Jesus, my lily of the valley. I'm talking about Jesus, my bright and morning star. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus, who is able to do everything but fail. I need somebody to take off whatever is blocking you. I need somebody to take off whatever is standing in front of you. I need somebody to take off whatever is inhibiting you and say, I want to be free. I want to be loosed. Lord Jesus, go ahead, roll over my stuff. I want to be free. Go ahead, have your way. You gotta take off something. You gotta take off something. You gotta lay it at the foot of Jesus. And when you lay it down, I want you to do what those disciples did. I want you to shout, Hosanna. You're not getting the message. Hosanna, I've been free. Hosanna, I've been liberated. Hosanna. You've got to take off some stuff. You've got to take off. 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 Let me say it again. You've got to take off some stuff and lay it in the path of Jesus.
and let Jesus ride into Jerusalem triumphantly. Because what he's about to do on the cross is try to get you back to the state where Adam and Eve were supposed to be before they messed up and let the devil come slide up in there and mess up their connectivity to God. And as I said, I'm convinced that some of us have some garments that we need to take off. Throw them on the ground. Say, Lord, be Lord. Because a lot of us come into church with a mask on. Made up. Hiding your hurt. Trying to hide your sin. Trying to convince everybody you're holy, sanctified, fire baptized. But on the inside, you're hiding from God. God is saying to you, I want you to be free. I want you to worship me the way I created you to worship me. And stop letting people, things, circumstances, situations, garments hide you from God. Let the church say amen today. Everybody standing to their feet. Everybody standing to their feet.
Hallelujah.
I want to offer this to you. This isn't show. I know I use some dramatic effects every now and again, but it's not for show. It's for the upbuilding and communication of the Word of God. And I hope you see the parallel between Genesis 3 and Matthew 21. Take off your fig leaves, Adam. That's not how I created you. Take off your garments and lay them down and give me praise. Choir's going to sing in a moment. And as they do, I want everyone here to consider, is there something that I need to take off today? Let go and let God. Let go and let God. Let go and let God. Go ahead and sing, choir. If you don't have a church home, I want you to come. Join with us. But more important, if you don't know Jesus, I want you to come give your life. Give us your hand. Give God your heart. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Anyone here today? Anyone here today? Anyone here today? Anyone here today?